State Farm. This is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good, but not great drivers.
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
When you need to know.
I feel like what Chris is doing is trying to capitalize a little bit more on Frankfort as a destination place that's close to Indianapolis and close to Lafayette. And I think one of the most exciting aspects of that is the Prairie Creek Park venue. And just the whole idea of bringing events to downtown Frankfort, getting people out of their house, getting them down to the square, which is lovely.
On the air first when seconds count.
It's somewhat similar, but different. The difference is it's contained. It was in a building where RNA was outside. So all this is contained inside the building, which makes it a little rougher, harder to extinguish.
The news team you've come to depend on.
We've been so impressed with the show of support from our whole community. And that's really important. It's been important from the beginning that this be a grassroots effort.
WILO.
The more that they improve buildings, make them look good, then the people will come in.
On the air first from your official weather station, WILO.
Do you know someone who is a true community hero? Someone who has made a true difference and has a true passion for making Clinton County a better place to live? If so, here is your chance to help them get recognized. Get your nomination form at WILO. Frankfort Main Street or Frankfort Community Public Library and return to the same locations. To be eligible, they must be a Clinton County resident and there is no age limit. The Community Hero brought to you by Frankfort's Unified Neighborhoods and your home for classic hits, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
And welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by State Farm Insurance agents Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis, as you hear the song The Chicken Dance in the background. We're about 10 or 15 minutes away from having our next guest coming in the studio, and that'll be Amy Anthrop, who's the head coach over at Clinton Prairie, and she's going to bring two of her basketball players with her. As we're going to get started, do a little previews of the girls' basketball season. We're expecting her in here in the next 10 minutes or so. We haven't really talked very much college football yet today, and there is a very, very big game, and it's going to probably determine to see if either one of these teams go to a bowl game this year. As Illinois plays at Purdue, kickoff over at Ross-Ade Stadium is at noon, and I believe this is on, I think it's on the BTN network, I think, this week. Yes, it is. This game is big for a lot of different reasons. Purdue right now is 2-5. It's a very young team. But, they've had some injuries to Elijah Sindelar and Rondell Moore. But then also they've had some been some improvement because David Bell's become an emerging star, at receiver. Jack Plummer's getting better every week and submitting himself as a quarterback for the future. And George Karloftis is becoming a budding star on defense. But the reality is that Purdue needs to win four of its last five games, one of which will be against a top 15 Wisconsin team on the road. The Badgers do not look as daunting as they did a week ago at this time because they're still being heavily favored against Purdue up in Madison. But the margin is still extremely narrow for any kind of margin for error. The next 3 weeks presents games that Purdue is fully capable of winning. Illinois may just pull off a huge upset, and we'll talk about that in a minute. They defeated Wisconsin last week, 24-23. But there's still a lot of questions about them. Nebraska is losing players like drummers and a spinal tap. And so much, they are currently a home underdog to Indiana today, and we'll talk about that left here in a couple minutes or so. Then also you have Northwestern, which seems to be completely adverse to offense. So there's three straight games, three straight opportunities to get wins, and Purdue needs four wins, as we said, the last five games to go to a bowl game this year. Illinois currently is, you never know what to expect, and they have a tendency to play up or play down. They're not real consistent. They opened up Big Ten play after they went 2-1 in preseason, a very bad loss to Eastern Michigan, which got them 2-1. They opened up with Big Ten losses against Nebraska, which they totally, were just outplayed. The state in it was 42-38. Minnesota steamrolled them 40-17, and Michigan beat them 42-25 before stunning the nation last week against Wisconsin. Illinois beating Wisconsin last week, more stunning than some other things, like Purdue beating Ohio State last year. Illinois was a 31-point underdog to Wisconsin last week, but refused to go away, and they took advantage of some Wisconsin turnovers and general sloppy play. The game also showed how Illinois has been a different and more competitive team at home this year. They gave up a ton of yards to Nebraska, but kept it close. They kept storming back. They were down 28-0 against Michigan to finally make it a game late. Illinois' defense has a deceptively strong offense, so they can move the ball and score some points. You also have a feast or famine defense that has a tendency to make big plays or give up big plays. So it's going to be an interesting game. The running game is led by Reggie Corbin, quarterback who's from a transfer from Michigan is Brandon Peters, who has looked very, very good last week, especially late in the game against Wisconsin. This game will be a matchup. It's interesting because Illinois has struggled to stop the run. They give up nearly 200 yards per game, while Purdue is the worst rushing team in the conference by a wide margin. Purdue barely rushes for 59 yards a game, which is 129th nationally out of 130 teams in the FBS. That's more than the 30 yards behind 13th place Rutgers, and Purdue makes up for the best passing offense in the conference. But still, if Purdue can't run the ball at all against Illinois, they probably can't run the ball at all. So this is going to be a very interesting, but Lovie Smith also is fighting for his job. They kind of compare him in this article here I'm reading to Daryl Hazel, who is at Purdue. But Lovie right now is 12-31 in his career at Illinois. And it's going to be interesting to see, even with the victory they had against Wisconsin last week, it'll be interesting to see if he can still keep his job if they don't do something here down the line. This series overall is 44-44-6. Last Purdue win was 46-7 at Illinois last year. And the last Illinois win was 48-14 over here in West Lafayette back on November the 7th of 2015. So Purdue and Illinois get it on at noon today. And that's going to be interesting to see what happens. Also today in the Big Ten, we have Iowa at Northwestern. They go at noon, and they're on ESPN, too. Liberty and Rutgers go at it at noon. That's another thing over on BTM. And it's going to be very interesting to see what Rutgers do. They're one of the worst teams. They're looking for a coach as well. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. The big game in the Big Ten today, one of the Big Tens, there's two games of really a big day. The first one is going to be Wisconsin at Ohio State. That game's at noon. It's on Fox. Personally, I don't think this game is going to be as close as people think. It could be, but I think Ohio State's got way too many weapons for Wisconsin, especially. It's going to be interesting to see how Wisconsin rebounds from last week's loss to Illinois. So that's coming up at noon. Also, this afternoon in the Big Ten, we'll talk about Indiana-Nebraska here in a second. That game's at 3:30 on BTM. Also on ESPN at 3:30. Big game should be interesting because Maryland's got Minnesota. Maryland's been feast or famine. Minnesota's still undefeated, so it's going to be interesting to see how that game comes out. ABC game at 3:30 is Penn State is at Michigan State. It'll be an interesting battle for Penn State. And also tonight, the big game on ABC is Notre Dame is at Michigan. That game starts at 7:30. I'm not real sure who I really want to root for in that game. I don't care for either team, to be honest with you. I'd be interested to see how that comes out. As we talked about, Indiana is at Nebraska. Indiana is getting close to a bowl game, and that's kind of surprising. Because they're currently, I believe they are, I'm trying to see where it is in this article I've got here, but Nebraska has won 5 in a row since the last victory and coming in Bloomington, a 27-22 affair 3 years ago. But the thing of it is, Nebraska is 4-3 overall, 2-2 in the Big Ten, and they're really struggling to it all. And, you know, it's just not very good right now. You know, Tom Allen is 15-17. He probably needs to secure a bowl bid to make sure that he keeps his job as well for the next coming years. That is but that's something that's going to have to be determined. They just need to get a win today. Indiana has been very good offensively. They have Michael Penix or Peyton Ramsey running the team at quarterback. Stevie Scott's been a big running threat, and they got some excellent receivers. For Nebraska, they don't know if they're going to be going with Adrian Martinez or Noah Vedrell as a quarterback for the Big Red today because they don't know. They also have freshman Luke McCaffrey as an option, but Martinez has been wearing a knee brace here recently, and it'll be interesting to see how that comes out of that as well. So it's going to be an interesting game out there at Lincoln today, 3:30 with Indiana at Nebraska. That game starts, as we said, at 3:30. It's on BTN. Another couple of big games, actually the biggest game going today, is Auburn at LSU. That's a 3:30 kickoff on CBS. That'll be doing it that way. And then also, it'll be interesting to see what Alabama does without Tua Tagovailoa tonight as they host Arkansas. Arkansas probably won't give them much of a battle, but it'll be interesting just to see how Alabama reacts to being without their big star quarterback tonight, as he's going to be out for a week or two anyway. Another interesting thing coming over here at Ross-Ade Stadium is a new, larger, high-resolution video board's coming to Ross-Ade Stadium. As budget officials approve more than $34 million for improvements throughout Purdue's campus, that'll all be happening in the month of October. $10 million of that is going to the live video board. It's going to replace the 13-year-old one. Now it's in the south end zone. Construction is going to start once Purdue's football season is over. Tom Schott said this will be a game-changer when it comes to game day experiences for fans and alumni. Quoting Tom now, for a long time, fans of the stadium felt they were shortchanged, I should say, because folks at home were getting all these angles and reviews on their TVs that they were being shown to you in person. The new video board is expected to be done by the 2020 football season, and Purdue Athletics will be releasing mock-ups in the coming months. So it'll be interesting to see what all that looks like when the new video board coming to Ross-Ade Stadium next year. Our guests from Clinton Prairie are here, so we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll get them on back here just in a second. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by State Farm Insurance Agents Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
Do you know someone who is a true community hero? Someone who has made a true difference and has a true passion for making Clinton County a better place to live? If so, here is your chance to help them get recognized. Get your nomination form at WILO, Frankfort Main Street, or Frankfort Community Public Library and return to the same locations. To be eligible, they must be a Clinton County resident and there is no age limit. The Community Hero brought to you by Frankfort's Unified Neighborhoods and your home for classic hits, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
And welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by State Farm Insurance agents Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. The subject of the matter right now is girls basketball. And we're joined in the studio by our guests, who are Clinton Prairie head basketball coach Amy Anthrop, along with two players from this year's team, Katie Blacker, Emma McKinney. Ladies, good morning. How y'all doing?
Good. Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Not a problem. Love to have you guys in here. The purpose I wanted to do this show is to make sure we get all sports covered and get everybody, boys and girls, because the old one we had just covered, men's boys basketball and just covered football. I wanted to get away from that, so that's why I'm trying to do it this way. So hopefully that works, so we'll see what happens. First of all, as we were just talking, it's amazing that the season starts in a week. So what do you expect out of this year's group?
You know, we have a lot of kids back. We lost two seniors last year. We lost our leading scorer in Tatum Neal. Definitely somebody that's hard to fill her shoes, but all of our kids have bought into working hard every single day. So with the amount of talent that we have back, plus some JV kids that will come up from a team that only lost one game last year, I think our goals, our expectations are pretty high. Obviously, we're going to try to compete for a conference championship as well as a sectional championship. But really, our main goal is just every day we've got to get better. We've got to keep focusing on what the little goals are and what the small victories are, and just try to outwork everybody else.
Okay. Katie and Emma, how about you guys? What's your guys' goals for this year?
For this year, I want to develop a strong bond with all of our teammates and get to know everyone a lot better and click on the court. And I would like to have a winning record this year again and win a sectional.
Same as Emma. I just want to go out there, play our hardest, like Coach said, every game, because we practice like how we play. So even in the practice and gyms and stuff like that, we just got to go in and do all of our hardest work, and I hope we get another conference champion under our belt this year, as well as run farther in sectional as well.
From your standpoint, ladies, what do you think your strengths and weaknesses are with this group this year? I'll get Amy's pointer in a second.
This year, we don't have that much height on our team this year, so that's kind of a setback. But we all are doing our best.
Also. Our guards this year, we're guard heavy. So I played post last year. So this year I can even play in the guard. Our five can play a guard. So we can just really run the court really well this year. That's probably our biggest strength this year, but our weakness is probably height and stuff. But we still have two other players, including me. So it should be good with that.
Amy, what's your thoughts?
So, like they said, we do have a lot of guards, so we're going to be able to play a lot faster than what we have in the past. It also helps us being able to play more of a spread-out offense and let our guards attack off the dribble, kick out for shots. We've got a lot of really great shooters. So, and then defensively, because we are so guard-heavy, I think we're going to be able to play full court a lot more. We're going to be able to really pressure the ball and hopefully get a lot of points going in transition. So, like they said, we don't have a ton of height. That just means we have to box out. But for us, I think most teams are going to look at us. We're going to be able to play a lot quicker pace, a lot faster pace.
But then also, I would with the lack of overall height, it means you should be able to interchange people and play a lot. as they said, play a lot of people inside as well as outside. That should be a plus for you, though, as well.
Definitely. And, you know, like I said before, we have a lot of returning players. So a lot of these kids are used to what we've done in the past. And so they're kind of just filling in right away. Defensively, we're going to look at some different schemes than what we have before. But like you said, everybody's interchangeable. And we have five kids that could play any position any given night.
So I take it you got numbers is pretty good this year, and you got enough depth as long as people stay relatively injury free.
Yeah, we have 18 kids that came out. So this first week, it's always a little bit complicated because you have kids who didn't play a sport in the fall, or you have volleyball, which isn't a conditioning sport. So we've got some nicks and some bruises, but for the most part, our kids are still coming in even when they are sore, and they're still working hard every day.
Now, do you guys have a scrimmage scheduled or not?
Yeah, we scrimmage next Saturday at Southmont.
Okay, and I didn't know if that was a regular season because they didn't put scrimmage on my schedule that I've got. So then you open over at Fountain Central then on the 7th then.
Right, and you know, Fountain Central, that's where I first started coaching. It feels like many years ago. So it'll be fun to be able to be back because when we played them last year, they came to Clinton Prairie. So it'll be neat to go back and coach and on the other side of the bench at Fountain Central.
You know, also it's kind of unique. You guys will have a home game on the 26th of November.
Our schedule's pretty tough. Our first 13 games, we have two games at home. So Rossville is our first home game, and that's the week of Thanksgiving. So we're going to have to focus in. It's going to be hard to go play on the road, especially with some of our early games. But we need to make sure that every day we're focused. And whenever we do get to come home, that'll be pretty sweet because, again, we're on the road quite a bit.
Katie and Emma, how do you guys, you know, when you have so many road games early in the season, how do you guys want to use that time? And do you think that's going to help you guys a little bit later in the year because you get a chance to get to know each other a lot better? Or how are you going to view those kind of games, being so many on the road so early?
I think it's going to help us, though, because when we have home games and then we go back to away games, like, we kind of lose, like, our focus a little bit. So if we're just always on the road at the beginning of the game, like, we got to be focused, we got to be ready to play. But then when we come back for our first home game, I think we'll really take off for the season because that's when we're, like, in the transition of a home game, away game. So I think it'll help us in the long run, especially.
Emma, how about you?
Yeah, like Katie said, same thing. Away games, we're going to have a lot of those. And then once we get back to home, I think like it's everyone loves to be at home in that same atmosphere. And I think it'll be really great for us to get back in that routine. But it's tough being away at the beginning.
But for now, like the beginning of the season, I think it's 6 games or maybe 5 until we hit the home court. So we just got to stay focused and just make the best of it.
I know sectionals is the top goal. Pretty much right now, I would imagine. I'll extend that in conference right off the top of the game. But realistically, what would be a good season? How would you guys say would be a really good season for you guys? What would be the goals for you guys on that?
This season, I think we should beat our record from last year. We were 18-6, and I want to go into conference undefeated. I want to go into sectional with. I don't even want to have a loss on our hand this year. I think every opponent we come up this season, it'll be a good game at least with our ones that we've struggled with last year and the losses, but I think if we just focus every day like we have this first week in practice, because it's been a great week, I think we can beat any of our competitors this year.
Yeah, exactly like Katie said, I agree, like record-wise and wins-wise. But also I want, within the team, I want to grow like bonds and be strong as a team.
Okay. Amy, when you look at this year, do you want to break this season down into sections like the first, like say before Christmas and then like the month of January and then worry about postseason? How do you want to approach this season?
Well, I mean, like you said, breaking it up into sections, we have quite a few games in November and then December, January, February then is when sectionals start. So just breaking it up, definitely you have to group together that first stretch of away games, and we talk sometimes about winning the week. So even breaking it up into just a week, and you know, like kind of what the kids said, you know, we have pretty lofty goals, definitely something that we can accomplish. We've also strengthened our schedule a little bit. We picked up Tipton this year, who has historically been a pretty good team. We still play McCutcheon again this year, so we're playing teams that are going to prepare us then for the sectional, and it's nice that we are on the road because we don't host sectional, so we have to find a way to be able to win playing in other gyms and not our own.
So basically what you're using this preseason for, or this first part of the season, I should say, is to get yourself ready for the postseason, because you're not going to be, as you just said, you won't be at home. So you get a chance to really find out how it is playing on the road a lot.
Yeah, every game is important. Every game you learn from it. I mean, even every practice is important. So it's a daily process of the coaches and us learning what we need to improve on. But again, the goal is every day, every game, the focus is for sectional week.
Do you guys like playing so early this year? Because it seems like you're starting earlier and earlier every year. Do you like this or not?
You know, actually this year, I think it, on the calendar-wise, it's a week later. But with the IHSA, what they did a couple years ago is they bumped up our they pushed up our schedule. Then it conflicted with the volleyball sectional. So when you have small schools like what we have, you can't do that because we want kids to play more than one sport. And so, thankfully, when they did move it back, now volleyball sectional ends and then our practice starts. So I do like it because, again, we always want volleyball to win sectional, to advance. But if they don't, we have our kids all at the very beginning of of the season. We have them all in the gym.
So how do you guys feel about that? Do you like starting early, or would you rather be having a little time to rest, so to say?
I like starting early. I like getting in the gym and getting with my girls as a team and just playing.
I liked it this year. I mean, I know they bumped it up a couple years ago, but this year our schedule went up a week early, I guess. And so we had our full fall break, and so we got a week to rest and stuff, and then that gave us time to go to the volleyball sectional, the volleyball team get to finish. Like today, we have one of our players is running in the cross-country semi-state, so it's really, Rebecca Lloyd, shout out. It's really like we just got to like support each other in our own other sports before we start ours, and so we can all be in the gym probably back next Monday, hopefully, if she wins state.
Now, did you guys play volleyball this year or not?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I didn't know if you guys did
or
not.
We're football managers, so
yes.
Okay.
We do that every Friday night.
And I'm sure you got to be elated about last night.
Yeah, that was really nice. We're advancing to week two.
Now, do you guys know if you're home or away next week as of yet?
We're away at Central Catholic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because both teams are playing really well right now. Mm-hmm. So anything that you want to particularly bring out that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, like they said, Rebecca Lloyd, she is running this morning in cross-country semi-state. This is her fourth year advancing to the semi-state. So we want to wish her good luck. We hope she does well. Realistically, we hope that she's running in the state and we don't see her at all next week. But I'm looking forward to this year. I think kind of what we talked about with our goals, it's just a fun group of kids to be in the gym with. You know, I always go home and I tell my husband, it doesn't matter what kind of day I'm having during the day, whenever I get to go into the gym and spend time with these girls, it always just lifts up whatever bad day you've had. So they're just a joy to be around. They're great kids on and off the court. And I know all the other three coaches and I can say that we're very fortunate and we're very blessed to be able to coach them.
I take it, though, the big thing is you just want to see improvement each and every day in practice, and especially in each and every game that you have, just keep improving for the postseason.
Right, that's what it's about. You have to improve every single day. And we will always, the coaches will always try to make sure that we're doing the right things in order to see the improvement, see the things that we need to work on, and try to relate that to them so that they know the things that they need to improve on. But big picture, it's always the postseason. So
yeah.
Just getting better every single day.
Now, how many games do you guys play during the year, roughly?
22.
And then go to postseason?
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Now, there is no more conference postseason like there was there for a year or two. There's no more conference postseason.
Yeah, they took out the conference tournament a couple years ago, so it just is based on your in-season record.
Okay. So then, and of course, it's just luck of the draw come postseason, whatever, you know. So do you get a chance to see a lot of your teams that you'll play postseason or during the year, or are you just going to be?
We play every team in our sectional during the year, which helps. And then we watch a lot of film as well, the coaches and I. We watch a lot of film. So I'll keep up with some of those teams. Like with Central Catholic, they're our third game of the year. Seeger will be another tough one in our sectional. We play them right after Christmas. So, you know, the team that you are in late October is a totally different team when you're late January. But we keep an eye out on those teams, and and just watch their season and watch what we need to do to improve to be able to compete.
Okay. Katie, Emma, anything else you guys want to add before I let you guys go?
Nope, just like Coach, I really expect a lot out of us girls this season. I think we can just even improve so much with our record from last year. We can make a bigger run in the sectional. But first things first, I want to be county champions, conference champions, and then finish in the postseason, hopefully with a win.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have big expectations for this year.
Okay. Amy, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
Nope, thank you very much for having us.
Hey, greatly appreciate it. Katie Blacker, Emma McKinney, along with head basketball coach Amy Anthrop from Clinton Prairie. Guys, best of luck to you this year, and look forward to seeing you a little bit further down the line as the year goes on.
Thank you.
All right, take care of yourself. It's going to wrap up the show for this week. Thanks to our guests and our sponsors, State Farm Insurance Agent Susan Casper, Tony Theofanis. Join us again for another Inside the Huddle next week. So until then, I'm Ken Hartman. Take care and have a great week.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, and Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.